mama. Here's a letter from your son. Well, I think my city days are done, ma.
This segment here is brought to us by the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in southeast Oklahoma, owned by the Choctaw Nation. Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Doug's Jugs, maker of some awesome jug lines for catching catfish. That's online, dougsjugs.com. Well, folks, you may recognize that song, John Deere Tractor. I bet you do. Let me introduce you to Mr. Larry Sparks. How about this? We're usually talking about hunting a deer or catching a fish. We're going to deviate a little bit. Now, Mr. Sparks liked to fish back before music occupied all of his time. Larry, thank you so much, sir, for spending some time with us.
Well, thank you for having me on. I do appreciate it. Good to be with you.
Yes, sir. I could probably spend about 2 hours quizzing you because you've been one of my musical heroes for a long, long time. You don't know that, but you have been. Yep.
No, I don't know that.
Now you do. But
no, I appreciate it.
You've been picking a guitar since a boy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just about since I was before even starting the school, I think.
You was playing a guitar. And then just, I don't know, I'm interested in how you become a professional, you know, bluegrass star. I know what you could probably talk hours to explaining it all, but maybe your first break or your first, how did you start playing with local bands years ago?
I sure did. Yeah. Just guys that I knew and knew me. And, we played together. We played wherever we could play. It didn't make any difference, you know, as long as we can get some shows and stuff. I was actually booking shows when I think I was 15 years old. I started booking shows, you know.
Yeah.
And around places. And but we, yeah, just local guys that were really good guys to be around, you know. And we played in different places. And when I was about 17, I believe, if I'm thinking right, I started with Ralph and Carter, the Stanley Brothers, part-time. Carter and Ralph, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I worked with them part-time for a couple of years. And then Carter passed away in 66, and Ralph asked me if I'd be interested in singing with him at that time, you know.
Yes, sir. Well, Larry, your style of guitar playing, I know my chords. I know enough about it, the rudiments of a guitar. I'm not a musician by any stretch, but I do know my chords and a few bass runs and all that. But the level that you can play a guitar, I mean, you hear about people that's a natural writer or a natural – you have to have some music in your blood, I put it that way. But yeah. I bet it takes a whole bunch of work in practice to get to that level of picking a guitar. Am I right?
Well, yes and no. The way I play is I play words. I play more words than notes. I play by feel. When I sing a song, I play that song on the guitar. And I play the words, the notes, slide, backward, forward, whatever I got to do, pull, or whatever it takes to play those words with feeling, you see. And that's just natural for me to do that. And you know, a lot of guys play with more notes, and that's okay. That's the way they play. But I always play the song, you know, play the words with my guitar. That's the way I used to do it. A few tunes you can hit a hot lick or two if you're lucky. But I usually just play by feel, and I feel it from me.
Yeah.
Going to my guitar, you know.
I think that's me. Yes, sir. Yeah. I think that is something that's inborn in a person. A person like me that I'm real dexterous and move my fingers around on the frets, but I don't have an ear for it. You know, some people are gifted in certain ways. Artists, you know, I mean, a painter.
I think so, yeah.
I believe that. I wonder if any of that's inherited, Larry. Where I think your dad maybe was a banjo player. Is that right? Or?
No, my grandpa was a really good fiddle player. He was one of the best.
Yeah.
And I never got to meet him. I mean, never got to be around him much in later years, but he was from Jackson County, Kentucky, the same area that Mother and Dad was from, right there. And that's where he was from. He was noblest, and I've heard him play. He's really, really good. But on the, that was on my mother's side of the family.
Right, right.
And the Sparks is all played too. They all played some. They had some talent and some of them did. Yep. But I never really had anybody to do much for me as far as, trying to show me something or teach me something. I guess I kind of did it myself,
Felt
it and did it myself.
Yeah. You just figured out your chords and then just took it from there. Well, I've watched you play a lot, and it seems like that guitar is just kind of part of you when you're,
it is. It's part, you become the guitar, and the guitar becomes you. You become the music, and the music becomes you.
I would say I get it, but having a deaf ear like I've got, I don't get it. I admire it. I'll put it that way. Yep. I definitely admire it. One of the biggest songs, I love a lot of your songs. That you sang "A Face in the Crowd," man, I really like that. I mean, a lot of people have sang it, but not quite like Larry Sparks sings it, in my opinion. And then
I know that years ago, several years ago, I recorded that, and it's been a good song for me, it really has.
Yes, sir. A song like that, is that a song that's been recorded like way back there, or is it an old song, or is it one that you brought out? I really don't know.
I got that song in the 70s, and it was pitched to me in the 70s. And usually sometime you have to change a word or two, or maybe a line or two, to fit the singer, fit the who's singing the song. Sometimes you have to, make minor changes or something to it.
Make it your song,
And with no disrespect to the writer, but I mean, you have to change a few things to make it yours, make it so you can feel it,
Yes, sir. Yep.
And that's what I do with a lot of stuff that's pitched to me.
Yeah.
And some of it I don't have to do that way too. Some of it's all right and ready to go,
Another song that I've loved to hear you sing is "I Just Want to Thank You, Lord." That's probably my, I don't know if you'd call it a gospel song. It is, in a sense, but it's the music, the picking that you put with that, that's pretty awesome, in my opinion, Larry.
Well, it's just simple, nothing, not a lot of this and that's in it. Just very simple.
Yep.
That's the way I keep my music pretty much down to earth, simple, with my way of doing it.
Well, I would imagine the learning curve from getting up in front of big crowds and all that. I know that from my own stuff. Sometimes I have, I'm asked to talk to bunches of people all about the outdoors, Larry. But that I had to get over. I had to get through that. But I can imagine being up there doing something as technical in front of a whole bunch of people as really playing, knowing that you're supposed to hit every note just right. To me, that would be, that'd be an ultimate challenge if I even had the talent,
Well, the way I look at it is, I guess this way is when I go out on stage, it's me, and I'm going to, I can make a mistake. I can hit a bad note.
Yeah.
But if I do, that's just the way life is. But, I go on with it and, I pick it up, and nobody's so perfect anyway, but I do the best I can do in the crowds, when I go on stage. I don't need nothing in my system. I don't need no alcohol. I don't need drugs. I don't need pot. I don't need nothing in my system but me. That's the way I go out on stage, and that's the way I continue to do it, and that's the way I will always do it, and I don't need nothing in my system to interfere with me. When I go out, it's just me in my system.
Talking to you recently, just you and I talking on the phone, you told me that, and I would imagine, this is not a negative to anybody, but I would imagine that's not always the case in the music business, you know? I'm sure it's not, but hats off for that. So when you go out there, you're just me. You're Larry, right?
Just me. Yeah. I don't want nothing interfering with my system and my thinking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want nothing interfering with that. It's me. I'm going to give myself to them people 100%.
Because they came there to see you, yeah.
100%. I appreciate everybody that follows my music or listen to our show there, you know, and I want it to be me to them.
Yes, sir.
That's the way it is.
That's the way that's the way I perceive it when I watch you on stage too, Larry.
Yeah.
I do. That's the way I see it.
I don't have to have anything to lift me up. I'm already lifted up.
Yeah. There you go. That shows through too. I've been to, did you ever go to the Bluegrass Festival down in Southeast Oklahoma, Hugo? Years
played
ago.
Played it many times. It many times. Oh, yeah. Bill Grant, yeah.
And Dahlia Brown, Dahlia somebody, the lady.
Dahlia Bell, they called her.
That's right. Yeah. We used to go there, and that's when I was in my 20s back in, that was in the 70s when we used to go there. But that's not too far. I live southeast of Dallas, Larry, and we used to go there, and I did meet Mack Wiseman there. He was standing on the back of the stage, Larry, and he was tuning his guitar. I think I talked to you about this the other day. And my daughter, Ashley, she's probably 6, 7 years old. I said, Ashley, that's Mr. Wiseman over there. Never will forget, Larry. I walked up there in the back, and he was tuning his, listening to the notes on his guitar. And I was nervous back, I was just about 24. And I said, Mr. Wiseman, I just want to tell you, I enjoy your music very much. Oh, son, he started talking to me. Larry, they started announcing him from the great state of Virginia, wherever, and I really got nervous then. I thought, I'm keeping this gentleman from, Mac looked at me and he says, said, son, let him call me one more time, then I'll come out.
Yeah, there you go.
But I bet you know all the, I bet you spent time with a lot of those what I call older stars, right? You know, like Mac.
Well, I did, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was all the older generation of the singers, you know, and Mack Wiseman and Don Reno and people like this, and Lester Flatt and Bill Monroe and Stanley Brothers, all these. About all of them I've run shows with, you know, back when I was young and up till years till all of them were gone. I'm not with us no more, passed away. But, the three bands that cut the, I think that were very important in this music is Bill Monroe, Stanley Brothers, and Flatt and Scruggs.
Yes.
Now they put this music on the path, and they cleared that path, and they cut the path, and everybody else come after those three names that's in this business. And there were names before that, you know, the older names out of the 20s and 30s, some in the 40s, you know, that were good too. That wasn't called bluegrass, but they still played the, you know, the instruments and stuff, kind of we play, but. So I respect all that going way back, you know, that's where a lot of it started from. But those three names, I think, is what put bluegrass, you know, what made it started out making it what it is today.
Yes, sir.
But we had two. I got a dog barking back here. My granddaughter's got a little dog back here.
My wife's got a cat here that runs through occasionally. Yeah. But we don't get them together. Then we'd have to just retire, you know. Well, Larry, good. Man, I really do appreciate you taking. A lot of people listening know Larry Sparks, and they know his dog, right?
I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
I said they know who Larry Sparks is. Now they know Larry Sparks' dog, right?
My granddaughter, she's 6 years old back there. She got this little dog. So we have to let him in and out here. But, this music is – it's good. It's real music, and it needs to be, you know, it needs to be played right and everything. There's a lot of bands now following it. A lot of younger people are coming into it, and I'm glad to see that.
You bet.
Need to give them, teach them right, you know, and how the music goes, and kind of stay on that path.
Well, Larry, I appreciate so much you spending some time with an old outdoor writer here down in Texas, and. Like I say, that's one of these days, if you ever get within range of me, I bet we've crossed paths back in Southeast Oklahoma many years ago, you know, in the 70s, no doubt.
I played that many times there with
I'm sure.
Oklahoma, Hugo there many times with Bill Grant. He's a good guy, good man there, Bill Grant was.
Yeah, I wish they still had that, but I guess it's that thing.
I do too, yeah.
Yeah, it's been gone.
I don't know. I think it's not having it no more, I can gather, But I thank the Lord. You know, I'm a follower of our God and Jesus Christ, and I thank God for the talent that he has gave me and to go on and do what I do. It all comes from him, and I give him praise. You know, I really do. I lift his name up wherever I go. Well, I believe in our God, and I believe in our Jesus Christ.
I do. I think most of our folks listening to our old outdoor show every week agree with you, Mr. Sparks.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've took
I strive,
a, go right
I strive
ahead.
To serve that. You know, I strive to serve him. I strive to.
Yeah, well,
that's what I do.
It shows. It shows very, very clearly. It does, Larry. Well, I hope we can meet sometime face to face, and I do know we probably crossed paths back in the day, but
I'm sure we have.
And then just so we keep this as a outdoor show. Larry, you did fish a lot when you were a kid, right?
Well, I fished some. Yeah, man. As time went along.
Yep. Just
that's
to keep,
where I had to do my own work, you know, my music, and I never had nobody do much for me in my 60 years, but I did it all pretty much, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I learned how to do this, that, and this and that, and made it work. And that's what I've always done, you know. I've had to do it myself.
I made it
work, and but it seemed like I never had time to wait on a fish.
I
had to go on. Ain't nothing wrong with fishing, man. But
no,
I mean, I just seemed like I just got into music more and more and more and more, and in the career I said I'm going to make it work, or it's just not going to work. If it ain't going to work, I'm going to know it's not going to work, you know.
Well, Larry, it
works for me because I worked and made it work, you know.
That's right. Well,
it's worked and made it work.
Thank you so much, Larry. Mr. Larry Sparks, folks, how about that on our outdoor show? Larry, you don't know what kind of a treat it is to get you on here with me, buddy, but you're being listened to all over a whole bunch of radio stations. And then nowadays,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, a lot of them now stream their audio, you know, the radio stations do. So
they do, right.
So hope everybody, I know everybody enjoyed the privilege of having you with us. So thanks again, Larry.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I do appreciate it.
Folks, this is Luke. For about the past decade, I've been hunting editor for Air Gun Hobbyist magazine. I think the only magazine devoted strictly to air gun shooting and hunting in the country. Well, in that length of time, I've learned quite a bit about big bore air guns and smaller calibers, too. A spot to go to that if you're interested in air guns, you need to know about Pyramid Air. The website is PYRAMYD, PyramidAir.com. They have anything and everything you need, from the guns themselves, the big bores or the smaller calibers, to the accessories. Just remember PyramidAir.com, and there's a number when you get on the website if you need to call and talk to somebody. Give them a buzz, and they can fill you in on little details that you might need to know about shooting or hunting with big bore air guns. While you're on the website there, I'd like you to check out the big bore air gun that I've done a great deal of hunting with. It's the Seneca Dragon Claw, 50 caliber, pressures up to 3,000 PSI, and it looks like a conventional rifle. Wooden stock. I think you'll like the appearance, and I know you'll like the performance. It shoots not only bullets, but also air bolts as well, tipped with a broadhead. Check it out. It's the Seneca Dragon Claw.